over there in the corner, you can probably go out in the back. We didn't know exactly how many would wind up being here. I wrestle what night to do this. Is this a good night for you?
Yes.
Because I do this thing Friday night, Saturday night, as I was trying not to compete with any home Bible studies. We wish you all could be in a home Bible study. But I, after all those registrations took place, then I opened it for this. And so we're delighted to have you. Have any of you ever been in a Bible study that I've led before? Because 3 years ago is the last time I taught on Wednesday night. I was doing Timothy and WOW for 14 years. I stepped out, and I've been out of it for 3 years. And I died to teach because I crave God's people knowing what they've been given. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to be ignorant of what was left to you in the will. I know more people own a Bible that don't know what it says. You know, it's good to sit on the TV and say we have the family Bible that we've never cracked. There's two things you want to do to kick off tonight. You got the syllabus. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. So let's start off with two things. Why study the Bible? Okay, why study the Bible? Okay, if just as a piece of literature, you ought to study it, right? If you claim to be educated. That's why where Christianity is gone, education is gone, because we had a book you had to learn to read the book, right? And that's one of the biggest problems we have today, is people do not know how to read with comprehension. So we're going to look at quickly why we study the Bible. And then I want to give you, you've got us notes here on how. Three big words we're going to look at briefly. At 8 o'clock, I believe that Matt Nicosia may come in, because what we plan to do weekly is we'll lecture, let's say, for an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. In Timothy and WOW, I'd go 2.5 hours. And so the men are being spared. But we'll do that. But then what we plan to do is to break it up. We're going to take all these classrooms over here. We're going to spread out all over into breakout groups, in which in those groups you will discuss the homework that you did for that week, okay? And the assignments are there if you have major Bible themes. And what I will probably do is assign and pick the numbers you are to discuss that night. You do all the homework, let's say 10 questions, but I may just pick three of you to discuss for that night because we don't have the time to discuss every one of them. So once we get in it, Matt's gonna help us there. And so, we welcome you. I hope I get to know some of you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, you're the ultimate teacher, and this is your word. You've given your spirit to your people, and I can't talk anyone into anything. I can't make them understand who Christ is unless the Father reveals who he is. So we're dependent on you. We pray that this would change their lives, not be a wasted effort. What a commitment these adults have made, and what a hunger they obviously have to even come out and sign up. And how I thank you for Debbie and Shannon, Sandy, all these helpers that have tried to put this meal together so they might be edified. I pray that you're blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I didn't give you notes on this. Why study the Bible? Look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. Notice what he says. We're trying to make this brief, but just to give you an idea Why study the Bible? Therefore, verse 1, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Get rid of this old life stuff. Now, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I notice every baby is born with an appetite. And they've got a way of reminding you every 3 hours, I want something to eat. I want to be changed. I want to be fed. Now, he said, you ought to be like a newborn baby. Appetite, an appetite for mother's milk, which happens for us to be God's word. So, is there an appetite? Now, there are certain people, let's say eating food. For some people, Bible study is like taking castor oil. They know it's good for them, but it's a hard pill to swallow. Do I have to? And they're thinking of all the thee, thou's, and all whatever, maybe a King James Bible. Then there's some people, it's like shredded wheat. It nourishes me, but it's awfully dry. Some people, it's like eating strawberry shortcake. Can't get enough. I'm a diabetic, so in the morning I have to eat by a certain time, but sometimes an hour and a half to 2 hours later, my wife said, you must eat. You must get out of the study, because it meets the deepest need. I was having anxiety last night. You know what I did? I read the Bible, and I prayed the Bible. And I slept like a baby in my anxiety. When I woke up this morning, I didn't even know what I was anxious about. Now, that's better than Valium. It's cheaper.
It's free.
And it's free. Psalms 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I went there, read that verse. You made that promise. You'll keep it. So, I think the first thing, we want the attitude of a babe. We want the appetite of a young child. And the aim is, why do we do this? We want to be scholars? No. That you may grow up in your salvation. Grow up. I know some Christians, they're so old in God, you have to part their whiskers to give them a bottle. They've been saved forever, but they still are as ignorant as they can be because they've not grown up on the word. They're full of church, maybe. They're full of this and that. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Listen to verse 11. We have much to say about this, talking about Christ and the Melchizedek priesthood. And that's a good test for you. What is the Melchizedek priesthood? Don't want to look at it now, but that's what he was telling them. Said, hey, you ought to understand what I just told you, but I perceive you don't get it. Then he says, we have a lot to say, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In the Greek, is you're sluggish in your hearing. You're slow to get it. Your spiritual IQ seems minimal. You're just not getting it. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Our churches are full of people that have never yet become qualified by knowledge of the word to teach others. We all ought to grow up so we can teach others. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be gifted that way. But could you teach your grandchildren? Could you teach your children the word of God? If you never understood it, how could you pass it on? See, and so he said, you should have grown up so that you could teach, but you need to be taught all over. Anyone who lives on milk, and what is milk? Milk is food that someone else digested. The cow digested the grass. Mama ate the food. She makes the milk. And he's saying, when will it get to the place you don't have to have someone else do all the cogitation and all the mastication, as it were? When will it come to the place that you get beyond milk, being still an infant, not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature? That means you can feed yourself. You can come to the table. You don't have to just eat applesauce that mom's feeding you or have a bottle, a baby formula, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there's a spiritual condition that exists among believers of infancy, a perpetual immaturity. He said in 1 Corinthians 3, I wanted to give you deeper truth, but because you were carnal or fleshly acting, you were limited in what you could do. You're milk Christians. You're fighting. You're having a lot of differences. Fuss churches. People are not feeding on the word, so they chew on the pastor. See, they're always chewing on something. They're full of church, but not full of the word, but not full of Christ. But boy, they know church politics. They know what the church ought to do, and they could teach a Sunday school class if their life counted on it. Why? Why? They don't know the word. They're not in the word. They don't know where to begin. We're going to begin there. We're going to have a feast. I'd want to take this class if I weren't teaching it, because it's life-changing. Now, let's look at the notes we give you, how to study the Bible for all it's worth. That's in your notes here. How to study the Bible for all its worth. What kind of Bible do most of you use? How many use a New International Version? That's one I'll use tonight. Anybody use English Standard Version? Okay, been doing that. I started the church with New American Standard Version. Okay, anyone have that? We had to have that in seminary. It's very literal. How many grew up on King James? Okay. How many of you have a paragraph Bible? Are you using paragraph? Do you know what I mean? Because when I read the Bible as a young believer, it was just verse by verse, and nothing was put in paragraphs. To study the Bible, you need a paragraph Bible. That's why I went to NIV originally. NIV, the English, it was geared towards sixth graders. It's one of the most simplest English Bibles to read. Very readable paragraphs. And get a good study Bible. You want that. Just tell me. Do any of you own a Bible dictionary? Good. This is Zondervan's, one of them. There's Unger's. There's InterVarsity Press has an incredible Bible dictionary. Gordon Winham is the general editor. You need to own, let's say if you run the word reconciliation, propitiation, hey, just don't use an American dictionary. You want to use a Bible dictionary. See, you do good. A lot of people don't even use an American dictionary. They read a word and don't understand it. They just, easy to beat them in Boggle. All they can write down is did. They can't figure out anything over four letters. You need a good dictionary. Do you ever look up a Bible word?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Many. Have any of you ever used a concordance?
Yes.
Use that? This is a strong. Strong is for the strong. Young is for the young. There's two of them. They're the most popular. They've got one now for the... there's different... What these concordances do, let's say if you wanted to study the subject of love, or you wanted to look up Philistines, and you wanted to know where all is it used in the Bible, these men devoted their whole life to telling you every place that word is used in the Bible. And what Strong did is at the back of it, he gives you a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary tied to numbers, that they may have a word, and then they'll give you the number, and you can go back here, and it'll tell you what it meant in Hebrew, what it meant in Greek. So being an English reader without taking Hebrew or Greek, you have access to those lexicons just on a number system. It's a great tool. And you know what you can buy that for? I just bought a new one recently, and I got it on Amazon for $20. I mean, let's see. This thing is about 1,200 pages. Yeah. $20. Wow. Man, how much you spend at Starbucks? You know, you got to get the tools or you never can garden. And you need tools to help you. I was telling some other... What other terms? A good Bible, Bible dictionary, study Bibles. There are now in study Bibles, you've got John MacArthur's. The ESV is a fabulous study Bible, edited by Wayne Grudem. You have the NIV study Bible, outstanding. I mean, there are footnotes that just clarify. Give you death. I mean, you don't need to be in the dark. And you all know how to Google. Let's see, journal. Do any of you keep a reading journal?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, we put in the syllabus for you a reading chart. A lot of people have never read through the Bible. How many of you have never read through the whole Bible? Okay, you probably just need a reading plan, you know? And so this, our brother Tim Bowstrom put this one together. There's many, in our bookstore I was looking, Michael has other reading plans. This one pamphlet up there has three different reading plans to get you through the Bible in a year. Read it. You'll get hooked. It's really, you know, when you get to Leviticus, maybe skip it. We don't want you to become a Jewish butcher. You know, Chronicles, get over all the begets thou by thy beget. Get to chapter 11 where the narrative starts. God doesn't care if you know all those tribes. When I get to those passages and ever that by they begin, boom, I'm running to get the story. I don't want to get a family genealogy. I don't know my own family genealogy. I don't want to. Okay, so journal what to do. I sort of bring one to you. I use it. I've been using journals now for about 10 years. I wish I would have started with it. Write what time you got to Bible study in the morning. You write down the time. Write where you read in the Bible today. I have a little Bible thing where you read 5 Psalms a day and the Proverbs for the day. So I read 6 chapters to start the day. 5 Psalm. Today is Proverbs 6. Okay. Now I'm ready to study, but Psalms, I pray, and I worship it. Use the Psalms. If you don't know how to pray, read Psalms and repeat what it says. Yeah. I cried to the Lord and he heard me. He said, oh, I read it. Well, have you ever done it? It'd really be hard on a lot of you. Shout unto the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord. But then, you know, do it. Let it not just be a reading exercise. Some of you are so uptight about God and worship. You need to let the Psalms teach you. That's your culture. How do they respond? What did they pray? And, oh, it would be a deal. But you write it down where you read, and then you start your prayer. And I use many times, I pray the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Our Father which art in heaven, that's adoration. And then you can use Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Supplication means specific request. So start out with adoration. Don't start out with your navel. Some of you already are bored with prayer because you know what you're going to ask. You've done it the same thing for 20 years. Start with God. Start with God. I look through our prayer sheets that the church does every Wednesday. 75% of them are physical ailments. 75%. Someone said going to a prayer meeting today is like going to an organ recital. There's so many body parts you got to pray for. You're slow. You didn't get it. It was profound. Hey, who's going to teach? Start with God. Do you adore Him? Is it a strain for you? Now, if you don't know Him, you can't even call Him Father. So that's how, but I'm assuming you know Him. Then you go into confession. And you confess sin. You confess attitudes. You confess what the gunk in the junk room of your heart. Get it out. Sin always makes you want to run and hide. God says, confess. I already know what you did. Don't play games with me. And then you want to go to Thanksgiving. Is there anything to be thankful for? I mean, you can be there all day, right? Okay, and then supplication, which really means, it's an old King James word that means specific request. Don't pray in generosity or generalities. Specifically, what do you want God to do for your boy? Don't say, God bless him. What does he need? What does your girl need? What does your unsafe friend? Be specific. And those four things will give you a framework for conversation with God. Okay? If you want to talk to him. So, I adore him. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to supplicate. Now, let's go to a house to study the Bible for all it's worth. There's three big words. You've got to know this is the anchor for you in Bible study. Okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
How to study the Bible. The first word is observation. Okay? What is being said? So if you go to the bottom of the page on your notes, you're simply trying to say, I'm reading, I'm looking, what did God say? You're not trying to find a hidden meaning. Just say, what did God say? So you look at that, and this is where you always need a journal, paper, and pen. Because if you don't engage your mind and write down what I see, what do I see? What's on the page? You're not making up anything. You're not even looking up a difficult word yet. You're just observing. And here are some of the things. What did God say? And you want to look at a chapter, like a paragraph in a chapter. Next week, we're giving you Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I've been doing it with our young adults on Friday night. I want you next week, I want you to be looking at that and come back to your group and tell us, what did God say? Ephesians 2, and we've got some homework should be in there.
Okay.
2, 1 through 10. What did it say? What did it say? What did it say? And so, going down here, I give you 10 observations to, if you were looking at a passage. When I was in seminary, we were given Acts 1:8, and we had to say, make 50 observations of Acts 1:8. 50. And the way the prof would do sometimes, do 25 this week, and everybody's bragging that we did it. He said, next week, do another 25 that you didn't do. One verse. And I thought, well, I didn't sign up for mental torture. What is he saying? So here are the things you look for in a passage. Just observation, key points. Who are the key figures? Who's being talked about in the passage? Well, in Ephesians 2, no person is being talked about in particular. But, you know, I take it back. There's one person in that passage he's talking about. You'll see it. What's happening? I mean, when you're reading David and Goliath, it's a lot different than reading Romans, right? Because Romans is doctrinal, detailed. You're in the courtroom. We got a lawyer presenting a case for Christianity. Over here in 1 Samuel 17, we're having sacred history being told to every Jewish boy. This is the way our king fought a giant of a man. I'm telling you a Daniel Boone story in Hebrew history. Come on, you don't have to be a scholar. What is the story about? If you were reading any history, wouldn't you have to think? Wouldn't you have, okay, what is going on? And it's there. You know what? We just keep tracking. I don't know what we're going to do eventually. We'll figure that out. It's your fault. So, what is happening? When is this happening? Just good newspaper editorial questions. Who, what, where, why, when? Just basic questions. Talk to the text. What's going on? What's being said? So that if I ask you, hey, just tell me what the passage is saying. I'm not asking you to interpret it. I'm not asking you to argue about it. What did he say? He said, I'm not sure I know. Well, read. And so that's where you constantly read. And what I used to do is study a Bible book every day for 30 days. See? And so I would have it memorized by, like, there's many New Testament books I can tell you what every chapter's about. But I may not quote all the verses, but I could take you through 16 chapters of Romans. I could take you through the book of John every chapter. And it's not because I tried to memorize it. I just repeatedly read it. So you saturate yourself in it. And what's the enemy to us doing this? We're busy.
Yeah.
We're busy. And, anyway. So, observation, as you follow this guide, and you look at Ephesians next week, I just want you to write down, what do you see? And what you do, you write down any questions you may have. I don't understand this. That's okay. Even read enough that you know the problems. Man, what does that mean? And then you're going to go, after you observe it, here's the biggie. You've got to interpret it. What does it mean? First of all, what does it say? Two, so what? What does it mean? Don't you think that, for instance, there's different kinds of preaching. We've all sat under different kinds. I've heard some men, no matter what they get, it's going to be stories. It's going to be every verse says whatever they want it to say. They feel no obligation to tell you what it means. And so I grew up, because I actually grew up commuting to school from Livermore to San Francisco, downtown, Jack Tar Hotel, Hamilton Square, man, 5:30 every morning I left for school. Grief was at 7:30. I was listening to McGee. I grew up with Swindle. That's why I wanted to go to Dallas. They were expository preachers, which means I owe it to you to tell you what the text means. I'm not obligated to make you believe it or like it. So everybody said, you're a straight shooter. God is. I speak for God. I don't speak in the place of God. And if you come and hear me preach, and I don't tell you what Romans 1 through 3 says, when I announce that's my theme, I gave you a speech about what I think, and I have no business in the pulpit. God is to be heard and not man. If you want to hear, go follow the Democrats and the Republicans, and you can hear plenty of what man's got to say. I want to hear what God's got to say. Because I got a king higher than both parties. And he's going to rule this world. It's going to turn out a lot different than either what group thinks it's going to turn out. King Jesus is going to be on the throne. And he's going to run things. And there won't be a vote. There won't be a vote then. You ride in town on a stallion out of the heavens. You get to run things.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you love him as your king, quit fretting about all this human government. What would you be doing if you lived under Nero, who's threatened to kill your pastor next week? And they did. For 3 centuries, all the pastors they could get, they threw to the lions. And you didn't get to vote on the emperors. No, we're so bratty in America. We're a bunch of brats about politics. Everybody owes us a little. No. Be humble that we can still meet above ground.
That's right.
Be glad that we are free with the freedoms we have.
Amen.
I'm saying this because I filed taxes this month. Be glad for all that I have for the taxes I pay. Amen? I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. So interpretation is what you do. You try to get meaning. And I give you these principles. And I give you a sign. What are the key terms? Now, when you get in Ephesians, you're going to get the term saved. Maybe the term quicken. Let's see. Those are about the main words in that section. But there's some places in the justification. Very difficult word for most people to carry. Propitiation. Wow. They didn't use that when I went to Nistrom. You know, it wasn't in their vocabulary. So you're not used to some of these terms. That's okay. You're not dumb. You can get a Bible dictionary. Figure it out, and you'll be in for a feast. You'll be in for a feast. Learn God's vocabulary. It's hard to learn to talk like God talks, where your speech becomes seasoned with wisdom, grace. It is something when you've grown to the place that your language betrays what you've been feeding on. Because your mouth will tell us what you feed on. People talk about money all the time, that's the love of their heart. People talk about this subject, that's okay. Talk about home, good. But eventually the Word of God will fill you up so that it becomes the meditation of your heart. And Jesus said, they're full of the word. And you don't have to be a preacher. You're just a believer. I'm full of my Father's word. Do any of you cherish letters? Do anyone ever get letters? Not email. Letters. I keep them. I've got a file. I've got about a whole drawer of nothing but personal notes that people in the church have written me. And my children have written me. And my sister have written me. I guard it in my life. It's in my file. I know I can pull it out right now. And God wants you to file what he's been writing to you. That's his word. So we want you to kind of study this and look at how I could interpret the Bible. And then the third thing is you're going to try to come up with application. So what? What do I do with it? What was this meant to do for me? So what? Okay, I'm take an example. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee immorality. Well, that's a nice verse. I'm going to go and see some. I'm going to a place I should be going. Well, why didn't you read it? You didn't do it. Blessed are those who read the Bible. What about blessed are those who do it? That you do it. See, the Bible will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from the Bible. Yes. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And, wow, I'm so glad I had an aunt, a country girl aunt, my dad's sister. I had aunts that grew up on farms. Farm girls can hurt you. My cousin and I, we get around. They just get you right in here. She'd take us right to the floor. He was rowdy. Played varsity at Richmond High. And Rudy Wilson, remember that? Hey, we were pretty rowdy, but boom. Said, you know what? I was before the now movement. I grew up in the hills around cattle, around men, around ranchers. So there was strength. She taught me while I helped her peel apples to bake. She'd teach me proverbs and morality, how to date a girl, what a Christian boy could do. My aunt told me that. My sister Hazel taught me, who never married. This is how you date. And when I went out with Carolyn, I had to report to Hazel when I got home where I took her, what we did, how long we stayed. I guess it's none of your business. And she was a country girl. Get over here. No, you don't tell me no. Guess what? We have no regrets. We did it the Proverbs way. Did it the Proverbs way. Not no bragging. I'm just telling you, get the word. Are we teaching our young people? I mean, our little children. Do they have any precepts? Are we teaching them that whatever gender they have is honorable? That's honorable to be a little girl. That's honorable to be a little boy. And just because you have the male parts, you don't get to pick your gender, biblically. You learn to accept that role. That's the role God picked for you. Unless you're smarter than God. And that's what Romans says they are. They're smarter than God. So he turns them over to all these weird choices. Well, now you're going to have a book. Let's turn to your homework. Next week, we're just going to have you take Ephesians and read it. And then you do this worksheet. And next week, we'll start in the book. But in our breakout groups, this is what we'll be interacting on. And that's kind of where we're in the book, Major Bible Themes. It's 52 themes. The thumbnail, it's one a week. The average pages is about 3 pages a chapter, 3 or 4. You like that.
Yeah.
And then there's questions at the end of it. And do the homework. It's just simply to engage your mind, to do it, to get it in your head. Adults, did you know most adults never read a book past 40? When was the last book you read that was over 100 pages?
Do the Right Thing by Huckabee.
Oh, okay. Okay. When's the last time you read a book of 500 pages? 500. They say, how many of you watched the Super Bowl for 5 hours to see 10 points on the board? One of the most boring games I've ever seen. We think nothing about sitting in front of a TV by the hour, which is hard on our health and atrophies our brain. Or we sit in front of a screen. Our life is watching a screen. It's amazing in our culture. Men are entertained by watching naked women while they're neglecting their wife. What a weird culture. I'm watching life. I'm not doing life. I'm used to being passive. Being passive. And it's been proven. The marriages go because men die between their ears. It's hard to keep a marriage alive. It's not easy. And this is what has to be engaged. And that's the battle for the mind. Then we can have a relationship that means something. So we're going to have fun. And you're not intimidated, are you?
No.
Good, good. I'm going to have Matt come and tell us a bit on our breakout groups, and he'll be helping us organize that. And we're going to do different ways. Now, if you wind up with a group that you don't like anybody in it, maybe examine your own heart to see how you are about people. And just call it intercultural studies or something. Matthew, did you want to come and lay it on them? Just tell them. Then we'll throw you out when you get done with this.
Matt Nicosia.
Wow, what a group. This is great. Hey, I want to tell you, congratulations for taking a big step tonight. Now, the challenge will be that you need to take more steps. Next week's going to be that next step, and you'll have some homework to do, will be some next steps. But you've taken a step tonight. And so we're all on a journey here following Jesus, and I know you've been listening to Pastor Phil for an hour. I'm not preaching. I'm just trying to encourage you a little bit. We're all taking steps in this journey to follow Jesus. And one of those big steps around here is we want to connect people with other people that are going to help them grow in Jesus. And so once you feel that connection, hopefully most of you have felt that connection. Now you're all saying, hey, I want to take another step, though, is I want to grow this thing between my ears, right? So that I can know God's word so that I can share it with other people. So that's another big step in following Jesus. So I just want to encourage you to say, hey, you know what? It warms my heart. Pastor Phil, this is all he's talking about. He's so excited to see all of you signed up here because he's seeing, hey, there's people that are hungry to learn the word of God. So I just want to encourage you and say, I'm so proud of you and excited to see you starting this journey. I love education. I love school. I'm in school right now, and it's ringing me out. And so I'm going to be so happy to see all those faces that are feeling like, man, I'm getting rung out. But I love it. So we're on a journey together, and that's fantastic. So right now what I'd like to do, though, is I'd like to set the table for you, because a couple of big parts of this class as we go forward is that there will be lecture time. Okay, in our small groups, we try not to have lecture. We try to have discussion. This is not a small group. This is a class. You're here in a class to learn primarily and connect secondarily, okay? So primarily, you're going to be here to learn. And so you're going to listen to Pastor Phil, and he's going to help you understand in a one-way conversation the themes that are going to be outlined in this book. But really, that book is going to help you understand the book. You got what I mean when I'm saying that?
Yeah.
Right? The book, the Holy Scriptures. And so so you're going to be doing that in a one-way conversation. But, and I've tried to say, Pastor, you got to let them out because they got to use the restroom and they got to get to their spots. And so we want to give you time so that you've got a full 30 minutes, I think. Right, Pastor? A full 30 minutes from 8 to 8:30 to be able to sit down and discuss. And we really want to emphasize that. It's a discussion. No one's allowed to dominate the conversation. No one's allowed to take over. It's there for discussion. And so, Debbie, I didn't see those points on here.
Yeah, there. The front page of your syllabus.
Front page of the syllabus. I didn't see that. Can I see that? Someone want to show that
sorry.
To me? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor.
You got it right there.
Yeah. Oh, you got him. Good. All right, good. So let's take a look at those for a moment. These are the ground rules for being in a breakout group. You're going to be breaking out, and this is all you really have to worry about doing. This is all you have to worry about doing. Let's say number one together. On the very first page, Breakout groups, what's that first? Starts with an S.
Show up.
Show up. There's no group without you. And don't just think, well, I'm not going to, well, it's okay. I read the book. I got the material. People, you got that there? Class outline, very first page, class outline. You don't think everybody has it?
Nope.
Grab a pen.
It's in the very front of your binder.
It's not, Debbie, it's not.
Okay.
Watch the screen.
So get a pen. If you don't have this page, get a pen. Write it down somewhere. And we'll get it to you in printed form at another time. The first one is, help us out again,
show up.
That's number one. There's no group without you. And this isn't about you just receiving. You have the opportunity to share your lessons with other people in your group because they need to hear what you're learning too. So the first thing is, show up. Oh, it's up there. Show up. It's right there on the screen. You can't see, but I'm going to say it real loud. Show up. What's the second thing?
Study up.
Be prepared. The more prepared you are, the more you can contribute to the discussion in the group. All right? So do your best. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, I didn't get all the questions. I better not go. No. Come. But the more you prepare, the more you study, the more you can help your group learn together. We're learning together, right? So study up. The third one is what?
Speak up.
Everyone in the group gets to be a part of the discussion. Some of you are introverts. Some of you are introverts. And in fact, you don't know this, I'm an introvert. And so when I get into a new group, I like to stay quiet and lay low until I get comfortable. That's okay. Some of you are extroverts. But as time goes by, hopefully everybody's going to be a part of the discussion. And if there's a struggle with that, everybody can start taking a turn reading and answering a question, okay? This is part of the learning process. The learning doesn't stop when Pastor Phil stops lecturing. The learning process continues. Number four, what's that?
Stay focused.
Breakout time is going to fly by, okay? So stick to the subject matter. You can discuss other topics with members of your group outside the class. And you know, if someone's getting off topic, you say, hey, you know what? This sounds really, really like a fantastic discussion. Let's pick it up off there later, and let's get back to the subject matter so we can try and learn together of what we learned tonight, okay? So stay focused. Number five, what do we got?
Stay humble.
We all, including Pastor, right, Pastor? We all are on a journey to discover God's truth from His Word. No one has a monopoly on knowledge, okay? Stay humble. I'm here to learn, and so I'm willing to listen to others, and maybe they got something to teach me tonight through the Spirit, okay? And through His Word. Number six.
Speak kindly.
Oh my goodness, I've been guilty of this. Using the truth as a weapon. Ha ha, I got the right answer. You got the wrong one. Let me show you how you're wrong. Whoosh-ah! Right? That's the last thing we want to do. We don't want to use the truth as a weapon to tear others down. Rather, we want to use the truth to build each other up. Ephesians 4 says, right? Speak the truth to one another in love. And in the context, they're talking about building up the body of Christ. When we speak the truth kindly, we build each other up. And then finally, I had the first six on mine. I'll take credit for that one. But the last one's actually my favorite. I went to Pastor. I said, Pastor, these are some ground rules for the breakout groups. He goes, oh, you got to add one more. And that's what number seven? Sense the Spirit. Spirit sensitivity. Ask these questions every night. What's God teaching me tonight? Maybe you should ask that of the group. Hey, you know what? Let's just put the discussion questions down. What's God teaching you? And then secondly, how does He want me to change? How does He want me to respond? That's the goal here, people. It's not fuller heads. It's transformed lives. Yeah. All right? So sense the Spirit. Those are our rules. That's it. So you're going to go to your breakout groups here in just a moment. And you've got about, let's see here. You've got about... Six minutes to run to the restroom, do all that. Now listen, we don't currently have any small groups going on over in room 104 and 105. Okay, so we can open those up for you so that, because this is going to be way too small of a space to have all of you split out into groups. So we've got those rooms available. Look, if you move any tables and chairs, we're asking you put them back the way you found them. Make sense? Is that good? What we want our groups to be are groups of men-only groups and women-only groups. That usually provides the kind of environment where men feel more confident and women feel more confident with their own gender to be able to open up a little bit about what they're learning, okay? So we want men's only groups and women's only groups. We would like groups to be minimum four, maximum six. Minimum four, maximum six. We think that's kind of the sweet spot to be able to allow everybody to share what they're learning. Minimum four, maximum six. Women only, men only. Now, we could have designed and put you out and assigned you groups, but I think it's probably a better idea that we're going to give you the freedom to go ahead and choose who you would like to be with. However, if you've ever been in Timothy or WOW before, that's going back a few years. Anybody ever been in Timothy and WOW before? Okay, I don't want you to be in groups together, okay? So if you've been in Timothy and WOW before, don't be in a group together, okay? Find some people who haven't. Elders and deacons, try not to be in groups together, okay? We want you split out, okay, so that you can be a part of helping to facilitate the discussion. Right. For those of you that are small group leaders, don't be in a group with other small group leaders. We want everybody to be kind of split out a little bit. Have some courage. Go in a group with somebody that you've never met before, okay? If you feel like, hey, we don't have a real leader, you know what? Try and find somebody who is a leader. So any elders or deacons in the room, raise your hands. Small group leaders. Any small group leaders? I know Joanne. Yeah, we got a few small group leaders. So look around the room. And also any former Timothy or WOW graduates. Got some of those as well, okay? These are people, I'll put pressure on you all, but you could do it. These are people that you go to and say, hey, our group isn't quite getting it. Would you help us out, okay? But this is going to be an atmosphere of charity, okay? And we'll have to work it out as we move forward, okay? So what I'd like for you to do now, unless you've got more to say, Pastor, we're going to go ahead and let you dismiss. Now tonight, what's the agenda? Because you've not done any homework yet. Tonight, the agenda is get to know each other. Okay, say who you are, how long you've been coming to Valley, and say what's one thing that you really hope to get out of this class, okay? If you have any questions, write them down, and then pray for each other. Pray for each other, and then you can consider yourselves dismissed for the evening. Yeah.
Matt, what you could do, you probably won't have the time about the time you do that, but remember, if you get any time, if there's just four of you, my name's Phil, Bob, Joe, I don't want to say any more. Okay, well, dive into Ephesians 2.
There you go.
Among yourselves. You can start that, but by the time you get acquainted and get a little history, who knows? But next week when we break out, we'll be discussing what we saw in Ephesians 2, what we observed, what we interpret, what we applied. Because we learn by doing, and so we're trying to get you to be involved.
All right. So Matt,
Debbie is printing more of the first pages. So if she doesn't get back by the time you break out, come back to the desk before the end of the night. She'll have the first page with the breakout stuff on it.
And in your breakouts, think circles, not rows. Any way you can be facing each other, okay? So I'm going to make sure that rooms 104 and 105, and try to stay in the same groups every week, okay? Get to know each other, work with each other, okay?
So 4 to 6 to a group.
4 minimum, 5, 6 maximum. Yes, sir. No, you don't need to come back here. Yeah, you're dismissed after breakout. All right.
How do I stop this?
Cameron, do you have a group yet?
I am actually serving.
Jim, you have a group?
I'm not. you done with that?
All right, let's see right here. He's got all the computers. It's just turn around. Turn two chairs around.
Join you guys here.
Hey, we got five. All right, we got five. I'm going to go hit the restroom. Hello? Oh, this is the women.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God.
Squeeze in there, Robert. Oh, I was going to sit right here. What? You're here. That's not a failure.
How long? Oh.
You're a leader, man.
I know. That's what we were just saying. Like, how lucky that was.
Yeah, we've got.
So
sad.
Which one
was it? You can join us.
Oh, six. What is it? Okay, six.
Good looking out.
I'm good.
Jim, it's on the channel. Jim, yes. Exactly.
Where's my phone?